Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Before we begin, I have an important announcement that is for the brothers and sisters here as well as the online viewers and the television viewers. If you have any questions in regard to, because normally after the talk there are brothers who come up and ask questions, at times time does not permit me to elaborate a lot on certain things, and also maybe some of them don't get a chance to meet me after the talk. So if you have any questions, the ones who are viewing it via the TV as well as the live streaming link as well, if you have any questions in regard to the content, in regard to the stories of the prophets alayhi salatu wasalam, or even any other questions, you can tweet me on at Muiz_Bukhari. I'll spell it out for you. At Muiz_Bukhary. You can tweet me via that handle, as well as use the hashtag AskMuiz, AskMuiz. Use this hashtag as well as my Twitter handle. Inshallah ta'ala, I'll get a notification and I'll try to answer some of the questions, because sometimes two or three people might ask similar questions. So I'll be able to go through all of the questions and I'll try my level best to address some of the very important questions in the series itself. Like said, during tomorrow's episode, day after tomorrow's episode, I'll try to address some of the questions. Failing, if I don't address it within the series, I will respond via Twitter, inshallah ta'ala. So remember, at Muiz_Bukhary, and use the hashtag AskMuiz. For the television viewers, I'm sure the channel must have put a small note somewhere around here on the TV. You can see it and follow it, inshallah ta'ala. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلي وسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم أما بعد. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. We ask Allah azza wa jal to shower His choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, before we continue with the story of the Prophet Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, I just want to remind myself as well as all of you that half of the blessed month of Ramadan has gone. Time is indeed flying. We have just got another roughly around 15 days from this blessed month of Ramadan. Time is flying so rapidly. It is a sign from the signs of the day of Qiyamah. Talking about the signs of the day of Qiyamah, you have minor signs of the day of Qiyamah, major signs of the day of Qiyamah. Minor signs, scholars rahimahumullah, based on the different narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, they have gone on to list the minor signs, and some of them have counted almost around 60 minor signs, 70, some 70, some 80, some have even gone on to mention 100 minor signs. But based on research, what most of the scholars today state is that from those signs, be it 60, 70, 80, 90 or 100, Most of the minor signs have already taken place. You've just got a handful of minor signs remaining, after which the major signs will start. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. And in regard to the major signs, there's a clear hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam that they are only 10 in number. Only 10 in number. Major signs of the day of Qiyamah. The narration goes along the lines of these words. Once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he came out and the Sahaba, they had gathered and they were talking about something, they were discussing about something. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to them and he asks them, "Ya Sahaba, oh my companions, what are you discussing about? What are you talking about?" They went on to say, "We are talking about the day of Qiyamah, Ya Rasulullah." Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to teach them something, that the day of Qiyamah will not take place until 10 major signs occur. Now what are the 10 major signs? You have from the 10 major signs, they're not in any particular order, based on different narrations, you have different, in terms of the order, the order varies. So, but I'll mention the 10 signs. Number one, you have Dukhan, a smoke that will cover the whole planet. A smoke that will cover the whole planet, number one. Number two, you have a Dabba, a beast that will emerge. A beast that will emerge, an animal that will emerge. Some scholars state that the animal will claw at the faces of the believer, at the faces of mankind, and the faces of the believers will shine. In another narration, or if you interpret the ayah actually, yukallimuhum, in that ayah, the Dabba will talk, this animal, this beast will come out and will start talking to mankind. This is the second sign from the signs of the Day of Qiyamah, the major signs. And then you have a Dajjal who will come out. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from his fitan. Ameen. And then you have the sun rising from the west, opposing the norm where it normally rises from the east. It will rise from the west. And then you have Ya'juj and Ma'juj who will come out. Gog and Magog, Ya'juj and Ma'juj. They will come out and cause all kinds of atrocities, cause all kinds of mischief and corruption on the face of this earth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. And then we have Nuzul Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will come down by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you have three major earthquakes. These are mega quakes. One Khasfum bil Mashriq, one earthquake in the east, one earthquake in the west, Khasfum bil Maghrib, Khasfum bil Jazirat al Arab, and one earthquake, one mega quake in the lands of Arabia, within the Arabian Peninsula. And finally, you will have a fire, Narun takhruju min qa'ri adn, a fire that will come out and it will gather the people, the remaining mankind, onto the plains of Al Mahshar, where from there onwards the trumpet will be blown. And the Day of Qiyamah will commence from there. So now in regard to these 10 major signs, we don't have a particular order to follow. So we don't know whether the sun rising from the west will be the first sign, or the Dajjal coming will be the first sign. But we know one thing for sure, and this is based on the words of the Prophet ﷺ, that even if one of these 10 major signs were to occur, even if one were to occur, the remaining 9 would occur one after the other in a very consecutive manner, just as how if you have a beaded necklace, if you were to break the necklace, just as how the beads fall one after the other in a very fast consecutive manner, the major signs, even if one were to occur, the remaining 9 would occur one after the other in a very fast manner, one after the other. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. So even if one of these signs were to occur, the remaining would occur really fast. Allahu Akbar. And today when you look at society, when you look at the world, everything around you, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, is being conditioned for the arrival of Dajjal. According to the words of the Prophet ﷺ, that Dajjal is the greatest fitna ever known to mankind. The greatest fitna. There was not a single prophet from all the prophets that we have discussed so far and the ones that we will be discussing inshallah, not a single prophet except that the prophet warned his nation about Dajjal. Be it Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, be it Musa, Isa, Yusuf, Yaqub, Lut, Nuh, all of these prophets alayhi salatu wasalam, all of them warned their nations, warned their people about Dajjal. And Dajjal is not some jinn or something like that. He's a human being. He's from the children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. It's just a matter of time before he comes out and starts causing all kinds of mischief and corruption. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Time does not permit for me to, you know, discuss and elaborate a lot about Dajjal, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us a lot about him so that we may protect ourselves from his fitan. What one important point I would like to mention, and that is that some people tend to think of Dajjal as a metaphor, as an example, as some kind of an example, a metaphor. They say that they try to interpret Dajjal to be, they say that the world wide web, the internet is Dajjal, or they say that the television is Dajjal, they say this is Dajjal, that is Dajjal. But you know, when we look at the words of the Prophet ﷺ, all these interpretations are wrong when you compare it with the words of the Prophet ﷺ, because his teachings are so clear. He literally gave us a pen description of Dajjal, that he will be a short, stout individual with curly locks of hair. He'll be blind in one eye, the other eye will be floating like a grape. He'll have kafara written on his forehead. So when you look at the description of the Prophet ﷺ, it in no way matches the interpretations of these individuals. Does the television look short and stout to you? Does it have curly locks of hair? Is kafara written on the television? The internet, do you have a figure for the internet? Does it have curly locks of hair? Has it got a reddish complexion? Is it blind in one eye? Has it got another eye floating like a grape? No. You have clear-cut description from the Prophet ﷺ in regard to this diabolical monster, Dajjal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from his fitan. Ameen. And this is why it is of utmost importance that during every salah, what do we pray? What do we recite? Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min azaab al-qabr wa min azaab al-nar wa min fitnati al-mahyah wal-mamahati wa min fitnati al-masih al-dajjal. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from what? The fitan of Dajjal. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Ameen. So, in regard to the Prophet Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, we mentioned that they were a nation, a wild and evil nation, who used to commit so many atrocities, so many crimes, so many crimes. There was a list of crimes that they were involved in, and mainly they used to leave their wives and approach men to fulfill their desires, as we mentioned yesterday. So the Prophet Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, he was appalled and disgusted by what his people were doing. He was utterly disgusted by what they were doing, but he kept on inviting them towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because after all, that was his responsibility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that in the noble Quran, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُمْ أَخُوهُمْ لُوتٌ عَلَهَا تَتَّقُونَ إِذْ قَالَ لَهُمْ أَخُوهُمْ لُوتٌ أَلَا تَتَّقُونَ. And when their brother, in the sense, when one of them, who was he? Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. Like I mentioned in the previous sessions as well, generally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to send someone from their own vicinity, from their own area. So Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, he advises them, will you not fear Allah? Ala tattaqoon. Will you not adopt taqwa? Will you not fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Inni lakum rasulun amin. Indeed, I am to you a trustworthy messenger. Fattaqullaha wa ati'un. Fear Allah, be conscious of Allah and obey me. Wa ma as'alukum alayhi min ajr, in ajriya illa ala rabbil alameen. I do not ask you for any payment. I'm not doing this to be paid by you. I don't need any payment from you. My payment is only from the Lord of the worlds, Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he goes on to admonish them. أَتَأْتُونَ الذُّكْرَانَ مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. Do you approach males amongst the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill your desires? Do you approach males? وَتَذَرُونَ مَا خَلَقَ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ. And you leave what your Lord has created for you as mates. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has created for us spouses from the opposite gender. For males, it's females. For females, it's males. So he goes on to admonish them, وَتَذَرُونَ مَا خَلَقَ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ عَادُونَ. But indeed, you are a transgressing nation. You are a transgressing people. But even after all of this advice, their reply was an arrogant one. Their reply was an arrogant one. They went on to tell لوط عليه الصلاة والسلام قالوا لئن لم تنتهي يا لوط لتكونن من المخرجين. They said, O Lut, if you do not stop, if you do not stop what you are, you know, saying and in terms of your advice and all of that, you will surely be of those who are going to be chased from here. We are going to chase you from here. We are going to banish you. We are going to expel you from this village. Allahu Akbar. Look, the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he strongly replies, قال إني لعملكم من القالين. Indeed, I am an individual who detests, who hates your deeds. Now, pause for a moment. What did I mention yesterday? We're supposed to hate the act. We're supposed to hate the deed, hate the crime, not the individual. Not the individual. This is not the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just because someone commits a mistake, just because someone makes a mistake, just because someone does wrong, we're not supposed to hate him. We're not supposed to, you know, distance ourselves from him. In the sense, we must always welcome him. We must try to advise him. We must make him see what is correct. And this is the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Look, he's saying, قَالَ إِنِّي لِعَمَلِكُمْ مِنَ الْقَالِينَ. I detest and hate your actions. Your actions. And that's why I said yesterday, we Muslims are not homophobic. We are not homophobic towards homosexuals. But we are against those acts, homosexual acts, because they go completely against the teachings of Islam. They go completely against the teachings of Islam. And that is why we do not celebrate a law that permits and that sanctions something that has been prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not celebrate a law as Muslims. But that does not make us in any way narrow-minded. That does not make us an intolerant nation. Nor does it make us, you know, bigots. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors of understanding for those who think in a wrong manner. Ameen. So he strongly replies, قَالَ إِنِّي لِعَمَلِكُمْ مِنَ الْقَالِينَ. And then he prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبِّي نَجِّنِي وَأَهْلِي مِمَّا يَعْمَلُونَ. Oh Allah, save me and my family from what they are doing. In other words, from the consequences of their deeds. From the consequences of their deeds. Save me and my family. Now the people, they started to plot and plan against Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, as is the nature of mankind. They tend to forget the lessons of the past, Allahu Akbar, and we should not fall into the same category. These stories are not to keep us entertained, like I say often. It is for us to derive lessons and implement into our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to do so. So they started to plot and plan against Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in the noble Quran. فَمَا كَانَ جَوَابَ قَوْمِهِ إِلَّا أَن قَالُوا أَخْرِجُوا أَهَلَ لُوطٍ مِّن قَرْيَتِكُمْ إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ يَتَطَهَّرُونَ. The answer of the people was not except that they said, expel the family of Lut from your city. Expel Lut and his family from your city. They started talking to one another. Why? What's the reason? Why do they want to expel Lut alayhi salatu wasalam and his family? Look at the reason. Innahum unasun yatatahharun. Because they're talking amidst themselves. Because they are people who keep themselves pure. Because they're pure people, they don't fit with us. So indirectly they're saying, we are dirty people. We are dirty people. We are corrupt. So they are pure. They don't deserve to be with us. So banish them, expel them from the city. Allahu Akbar. Look at how foolish and ignorant they were. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Now, they saw Lut alayhi salatu wasalam as a criminal in front of their eyes. And what was the crime? The crime that he was committing was that he was advising them against the vile and sinful acts that they were committing. And also because he kept calling them towards cleanliness, towards purity and goodness. This was the crime of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam in front of their eyes. Allahu Akbar. But sadly, the people of Sadum, like we mentioned, that was the name of that village, that area, the people of Sodom, they were blinded by lust. They were blinded by their lustful desires, and they could not see what was pure and right from what was evil and wrong. They were completely blinded by their lustful desires. Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, he kept calling them and inviting them to repent and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the only people to believe in Lut alayhi salatu wasalam were his two daughters. These were the only two individuals to believe in Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. Even his wife, Allahu Akbar, did not believe in him. Even his wife, even the wife of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, did not believe in him. Instead, she used to celebrate. She was not from the people. She did not commit the vile acts that the people were committing. But she used to celebrate with them and help them to commit more and more sinful acts. She used to help them. She was an accomplice. She used to help them to commit evil acts. And she used to celebrate the fact that they were committing all these acts. Allahu Akbar. And my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, pause for a moment now. As we go on, you will study, inshallah ta'ala, that she was also destroyed with the people. With the people of that nation. Why? She did not commit any of the evil acts, but she was an accomplice. She was okay with it. She was happy for them. She used to celebrate with them. And this is why, as believers, as Muslims, we must be extremely careful that we do not celebrate something that has been prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lest we become part and parcel of that as well. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Sometimes we think, I'm not doing it. It's just that, maybe let me just put up a status in support. Maybe let me just change my profile picture in support. Sadly, you see many Muslims doing it. Let me just change my profile picture in support just to show some love, just to show some support. This is exactly what she did. She did not commit the wrong acts. She just showed them support. She helped them. And because of that, she was also included with them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. So whenever guests, whenever visitors used to come and visit Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, she would run and inform the people, so and so has come. Males have come. So and so have come. And they used to come and seduce the guests of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam by force. By force. This was also one of the crimes that they used to commit. Allahu Akbar. They used to indulge in wild, sinful acts with the guests of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, whether they liked it or not, by force. By force. And she was the one who used to go and inform them about this. She was so corrupt. The wife of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. And that is why, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it seems that that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not decree hidayah, guidance for her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions, He talks about them, where Lut alayhi salatu wasalam admonishes them, أَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَأْتُونَ الرِّجَالَ وَتَقْتَعُونَ السَّبِيلَ وَتَأْتُونَ فِي نَادِيكُمُ الْمُنْكَرُ. Indeed, you approach men with your lustful desires and وَتَقْتَعُونَ السَّبِيلَ, and you obstruct the road. In the sense, they were highway robbers. They were highway hijackers. They used to hijack people. They used to lay in wait when people used to pass by, caravans used to pass by, and they used to rob the caravans. They used to seduce the people of the caravans. They were a nation that used to commit so many atrocities, so many evil sins. And Lut alayhi salatu wasalam kept on persisting in terms of inviting them and calling them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But finally, Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, he loses hope in his nation and he prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ رَبِّ انصُرْنِي عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. Oh Allah, help me against this corrupt nation. Help me against this corrupt nation. He prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, as you all might remember, the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, we mentioned that towards the end what happened? Two angels visited Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, right? And what did they tell Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam? They gave him glad tidings of a son. What was his name? Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam. And then what did they tell Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam? We are two angels and we are actually on our way to destroy the city of Sadum. The city where Lut alayhi salatu wasalam is in. We are on our way to destroy. Not two angels, three angels. I'm sorry. Three angels. Who are they? Jibreel, Mikael and Israfil alayhi salam. They visited Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. They gave him glad tidings of a son, Ishaq. And then they said, we are on our way to the city where Lut alayhi salatu wasalam is in to destroy that city. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَمَّا جَاءَتْ رُسُلُنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ بِالْبُشْرَى. And when our messengers came to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam with glad tidings, قَالُوا إِنَّا مُهْلِكُوا أَهْلِ هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ إِنَّ أَهْلَهَا كَانُوا ظَالِمِينَ. They came with glad tidings of Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam, and then they said, indeed we are on our way to destroy the people of the city of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, inna ahlaha kanu zalimin. Indeed, its people have been wrongdoers. They have committed so much of wrong and evil, they are going to be destroyed. Now, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was a very kind, merciful individual, being the Khalil of Allah, being the friend of Allah. He tried his level best to intercede on behalf of the people of the city of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. He tried his level best. He said, you know, try and, you know, he tried to persuade the angels to leave going to the city of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. He tried hard to intercede. He kept on telling them, you know, there might be believers within the city. There might be, you know, what if there are about 200 believers, 200 believing families, and you're going to destroy the city? The angels said, no, there aren't 200 families. Then he said, what about, there might be around 100 people. No, there aren't that many people. Then even though there will be at least around 50. No, not even 50. 40? No. 30? No. 20? No. And then the angel said, no one believes except for Lut alayhi salatu wasalam and his two daughters. And that's why we are headed to destroy the city. And then they went on to say, قَالَ إِنَّ فِيهَا لُوطًا قَالُوا نَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ فِيهَا لَنُنَجِّيَنَّهُ وَأَهْلَهُ إِلَّا امْرَأَةً كَهَنَتْ مِنَ الْغَابِرِينَ. Then finally Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said, so then Lut, he is in the city and you're going to destroy the city? He is there in the city. Then the angel said, we are more knowledgeable of that fact. In a sense, we know that Lut alayhi salatu wasalam is within the city. لَنُنَجِّيَنَّهُ وَأَهْلَ. We will surely save him and his family. إِلَّا امْرَأَتَ. Except for his wife. Except for his wife. We will save him and his family. Except for his wife. كَانَتْ مِنَ الْغَابِرِينَ. She is to be of those who are going to remain behind. Allahu Akbar. Now the angels, they leave Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and they go to Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. Now when they went to Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, like I told you earlier, they went in the guise of human beings, just as how they went to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So these are angels, three angels, Jibreel, Mikael and Israfil alayhi salam. They go to Lut alayhi salatu wasalam and visit him at his home. The minute he saw the angels in the guise of human beings, he started to panic, Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? Because he was scared for them, because he knew the minute the people of his village get to know that he has received guests, they are going to come and start, you know, doing all kinds of wild acts with the guests. They are going to come and seduce the guests and do all kinds of evil things with them. So he was worried for them, he was scared because they were youngsters, they were young men. They were young men, they came in the guise of youngsters. So he was scared for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَمَّا أَنْ جَاءَتْ رُسُولُنَا لُوطًا سِيئَ بِهِمْ وَضَاقَ بِهِمْ ذَرْعًا وَقَالُوا لَا تَخَفْ وَلَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّا مُنَجُّوكَ وَأَهْلَكَ إِلَّا امْرَأَتَكَ كَانَتْ مِنَ الْغَابِرِينَ. وَلَمَّا جَاءَتْ رُسُولُنَا لُوطًا. And when our messengers went to Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, he was distressed and he felt scared for them. There was this apprehension within him for them. He was fearing for them and he was in great discomfort. Now whilst he was going through all of this, all of these emotions, the wife of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, she runs out from the back and she goes and informs the people that certain guests have come to visit Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. Now the people of the town, they all get together, they rally, and they come to the house of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam en masse. They come all together, and they started to knock on the door of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. They started to knock on the door. And then they started shouting, O Lut, send your guests out. Send your guests out. We want to meet them. You see what a corrupt and wild nation they were. You see how corrupt they were? Allahu Akbar. They started to knock on the door furiously. And Lut alayhi salatu wasalam was now in so much of fear, in so much of fear for his guests. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this incident in the Noble Quran. وَجَاءَهُ قَوْمُهُ يُهْرَعُونَ إِلَيْهِ. And his people, they came rushing to him, rushing to his house. وَمِن قَبْلُ كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. And they had been doing evil deeds from long time before. قال يا قوم هؤلاء بناتي هن أطهر لكم. لوط عليه الصلاة والسلام, he cries out, oh people, these are my daughters. And he was indicating towards his own daughters as well as the women of the city. Because after all, he's a prophet and they're all daughters to him at the end of the day. He indicates to all of them and he says, these daughters are more purer for you as wives. Approach them, get married to women. Get married to women. He cries out, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ Fear Allah, وَلَا تُخْزُونِ فِي ضَيْفِي And do not disgrace me concerning my guests in regard to my visitors. أَلَيْسَ مِنْكُمْ رَجُلُ الرَّشِيدِ Is there not even one righteous individual from you? Can I not even see just one righteous individual from amongst you all? But there is not even one individual. Allahu Akbar. And then the angels, sensing the discomfort of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, they informed him, وَقَالُوا لَا تَخَفْ وَلَا تَحْزَنْ Fear not and grieve not, O Lut. إِنَّا مُنَجُّوكَ وَأَهْلَكَ إِلَّا امْرَأَتَكَ كَانَتْ مِنَ الْغَابِرِينَ They informed him that we are not just any ordinary human beings, we are angels sent by Allah. I am Jibreel, this is Mika'il, and this is Israfil. إِنَّا مُنَجُّوكَ We will save you, وَأَهْلَكَ And your family, إِلَّا امْرَأَتَكَ Except for your wife, كَانَتْ مِنَ الْغَابِرِينَ She is going to be of those who will remain behind. And then they went on to inform him, إِنَّا مُنْزِلُونَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْقَرْيَةِ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ رِجْزًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْسُقُونَ And indeed we will bring down on the people of this city punishment of the sky because they have been defiantly disobedient of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have been disobedient towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After informing Lut alayhi salatu wasalam in this regard, they go out. In the sense, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he goes out. And with a flick of his wing, their eyesight was removed by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, وَلَقَدْ رَاوَدُوهُ عَنْ ضَيْفِهِ فَطَمَسْنَا أَعْيُنَهُمْ فَذُوقُوا عَذَهَبِي وَنُذُرٌ And they had demanded for the guests of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam from him, but we removed their eyesight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, فَطَمَسْنَا أَعْيُنَهُمْ We removed their eyesight, فَذُوقُوا عَذَابِي وَنُذُرٌ And it was said unto them, taste my punishment and my warning. Taste my punishment and my warning. So their eyesight was completely removed. Some scholars go on to say that even their eyeballs were removed from their sockets. And they started to, there was actually a lot of chaos and confusion because everybody was now blind. They were struggling to see things because they all became blind just like that. Allahu Akbar. The punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the angels looked at Lut alayhi salatu wasalam and then they said, قَالُوا يَا لُوتُ إِنَّا رُسُلُ رَبِّكَ لَنْ يَصِلُوا إِلَيْكَ فَأَسْرِ بِأَهْلِكَ بِقِطْعٍ مِّنَ اللَّيْلِ وَلَا يَلْتَفِتْ مِنْكُمْ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا امْرَأَتَكَ إِنَّهُ مُصِيبُهَا مَا أَصَابَهُمْ إِنَّ مَوْعِدَهُمُ الصُّبْحِ أَلَيْسَ الصُّبْحُ بِقَرِيبٍ Now they inform Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, Ya Lut, inna rusulu rabbik, we are messengers of your Lord, lay yasilu ilayk, they will not harm you, they will not be able to touch you, don't worry. Fa asri bi ahlik bi qit'in min al-layl. Leave the city with your family during the night. When night falls, you must leave the city with your family. Wa la yaltafit minkum ahadun. And do not turn back. And they said, Don't turn back and look at the city. This was a command given to them, given to Lut alayhi salatu wasalam and his family. So in the night, Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, now this happened somewhere in the afternoon where their eyesight was completely obliterated, was removed completely. And in the night, they were commanded to leave. So Lut alayhi salatu wasalam packs his things and he and his family, in other words, he and his two daughters, they leave the city. Now his wife was observing all of this. She was also blinded, but she was observing all of this, and she now sensed that a great punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to come down, right? And she started to follow them. She started to follow them. She started to follow them. And as they were leaving the city, she turned one last time and looked at the city. Just one last time she turned and looked at the city. Even though she could not see, she felt sad to leave the city and she turned back. No sooner she turned back, scholars rahimahumullah said, she remained fixed in that position. She froze. She froze in that same position because she turned back. What was the command given to Lut alayhi salatu wasalam and his family? Don't turn back. Don't turn back. But she turned back. She turned back. She couldn't bear the thought of leaving her city because she loved the people so much. Like I told you, she used to celebrate whatever they were doing. She was happy for them. So she turned back and she became of those who remained behind, just like the angels had informed Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. Kanat min al-ghabirin, she was of those who remained behind. And then what did they say in the ayah? Inna maw'idahum as-subh, their appointment. In other words, the time for them is daybreak, morning. Alaysa as-subhu biqareeb, and is it not that the morning is so near to them? Allahu Akbar. Now it is night. In another few hours, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to descend upon them. No sooner it became daybreak, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he descends. Jibreel, the greatest of all angels. He lifts the city with the tip of his wing. And he raised it up to the heavens, so much to the extent that it is mentioned that the angels in the heavens could hear the roosters crowing, they could hear the dogs barking of the city of Sadum. Allahu Akbar. He lifted them up so high, and then stones from the heavens, from the skies, started to pelt down on them. And each stone had a target. Each stone had a target to hit an individual from the people of Sadum. Each stone hit its target and destroyed the individuals. Destroyed the individuals of the city of Sadum because of their vile atrocities, because of all of the sins that they had committed. And then Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam brought the city down, crashing down. Allahu Akbar. He brought the city crashing down back to earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in the noble Quran. فَلَمَّا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا جَعَلْنَا عَالِيَهَا سَافِلَهَا. And when our command came, we made the highest part of the city its lowest part. In other words, it was turned topsy-turvy, upside down. Allahu Akbar. فَجَعَلْنَا عَالِيَهَا سَافِلَهَا وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهَا حِجَارَةً مِّن سِجِّيلٍ مَنْضُودٍ. And we rained down upon them stones of hard clay. Hard clay, stones. Started to rain down upon the city, and then Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam brought the city crashing down. Brought the city crashing down. And after it was completely destroyed, it started to rain. It started to rain so heavily that area, the people of Sadum, that area, the village, it became a sea. It became a small ocean. And that sea is known today as the Dead Sea. That sea is known today as the Dead Sea. Now the Dead Sea is 9 times saltier than normal parts of the ocean. 9 times saltier. When you look at it, you'll notice that scientists have mentioned in regard to it that there's no life form within the sea because the sea is so salty. In other words, it's a cursed location where the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descended. So scholars go on to state that, is it permissible for an individual to visit the Dead Sea? Is it permissible? Because if you perhaps Google it, you will find out now there are many resorts, there are a lot of things around the Dead Sea. It has become a tourist attraction, the Dead Sea. So scholars write whether it's permissible for one to go by the Dead Sea to perhaps, you know, use products that have been made from, ingredients that have been obtained from the Dead Sea, you know, and things like that. So scholars go on to explain that if it is confirmed, now there is a slight difference of opinion whether the Dead Sea was actually the location where the people of Sadum were destroyed. But if it is confirmed that is the location, then it is not permissible because that is a location where the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came down. And then they go on to say that it is a lot better for believers to avoid visiting that place, as well as using products made from the Dead Sea. Because there is a possibility, when we look at the books of history and the books of tafsir, most of the scholars like Ibn Kathir rahimahullah and others mentioned that the location was the location that is today known as the Dead Sea. That is the location where the people of Sadum, the people of the city of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, were destroyed. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade entering upon the places of those who were subjected to divine punishment. In other words, we are forbidden to enter any place where the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had descended. It is forbidden for us believers to enter such locations, except if you go in there crying and weeping. But do people go to the Dead Sea crying and weeping? They go there in their beach shorts and whatnot. It is a tourist attraction. Unless you go into such locations crying and weeping, it is forbidden for you to go to such locations, because you must reflect on what happened there. And you must fear the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you go to such locations. You must go there to derive lessons, not to go there, you know, to chill and have fun and whatnot. You must go there to derive lessons and come out from there as quick as possible, fearing the punishment and the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah went on to say that he also forbade making use of any water that is available there, because of the fact that the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descended upon those individuals. Once when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on his way to the campaign of Tabuk, the expedition of Tabuk, they had to pass by a location where the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had descended upon the people over there. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed them, because before he had come to know of it, the people of that expedition, the sahaba, the companions, they had used the water to make a dough, flour to make a dough, and they had already kneaded the dough. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the minute he got to know of it, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah mentioned that he instructed them to feed that dough to the animals and not to consume of it, because they had used water from that location, and that was a location where the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had descended. So we as believers, we must be extremely careful that we avoid such locations, unless we go there to introspect, unless we go there to reflect and derive lessons. And even if we go for such a reason, we must make sure that we come out from there as swiftly as possible, quickly as possible, fearing the wrath and punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, before I conclude, I remind you all once again, please, if you have any questions, if you have any doubts, you can leave a message via my Twitter handle at Muiz Bukhari, at Muiz underscore Bukhari, M-U-I-Z underscore B-U-K-H-A-R-Y, and also use the hashtag AskMuiz, A-S-K-M-U-I-Z. So like I said, I'll try to address the questions within the series itself. Failing, I'll do it on Twitter, so you can follow me as well, so that you will be updated in regard to whether I have answered the question or not, inshallah ta'ala. So tomorrow is Friday, we won't be having the Messenger series tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, but we will be resuming it once again on Saturday, where we hope to discuss the very interesting and beautiful story of the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So I look forward to seeing you all on Saturday, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.